while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Hello. It's lovely to come and preach and talk to you guys today. That was quite an entrance by, you know, Pastor Deji. I hope I live up to what he said. And it's hard to come here and preach about John the Baptist and reflect on my own journey. And I want to share my story with you guys. Is that okay if I share my story with you guys? I feel like you will allow you to know me better. Okay, is that good? Is that okay? Okay, great. So my name, as was said before, is Femi Ononoga. You can say Olufemi Tukumbo Ononoga, but we'll go with Femi Ononoga. Son of Bisi Ojuri and Kayode Ononoga. And I'm sure there's some aunties and uncles in the crowd that are thinking, I know that name. And they're probably going to come after and say, did your mom go to obscure Nigerian school name here? And we can have that conversation. That's okay. I'm used to it. So I was born in Hackney, the north side of the bridge. North London is a different place. South London is very different, but it's lovely to be here. It is lovely. I have to say that to get out, isn't it? I was born in the mid-90s. Yes, I am that old and I am that young. Okay, I'm in this in-between stage of life where I'm trying to navigate being old to some and young to others. I was raised in the church, and my home church is Haringey United Church Baptist. Now, I don't know why we said church Baptist. I don't know why the Baptist came after the church, but that was home. I met most of my nearest and dearest friends at Haringey United Church Baptist. We went to the same secondary schools. We spent school holidays at each other's houses. And most of my groomsmen, when I married my lovely wife, Manuela, were from my home church. And I got baptized when I was about 12 or 13. And if I'm being very honest, I'm not saying this is what you guys are doing. I got baptized because my friends were getting baptized. And despite that, it was a great day. I enjoyed having my family around. But if you fast forward for some years, I reached my late teens. And I was consumed by the ways of the world. Now, I'm not going to go into details, but I did things that weren't very godly and honorable. And I entered into university with anxiety and habits that only allowed me to go into a deeper hole of depression and brokenness. But God was good, and he called me into relationship with him. And you see, I wouldn't say I was saved on the day I was baptized 15 years ago. I believe I was saved on December 11th, 2016. That was the day I heard Jesus' call into relationship with him. It's a call that I still answer every day, a call that guides my life and how I relate to the world and the people around me. But most importantly, it's a call that impacts the way I relate to Jesus. Now, as Baptists, because we are Baptists, we believe in the believer's baptism. Sorry, can I get next slides, please? Can I get the slides, please? As Baptists, we believe in the believer's baptism. This means that those who believe in Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension are who get baptized. This means that baptism isn't what saves you, but is instead a representation of what is already happening inside of your hearts. It all starts with your heart. Once you place your heart in Jesus' hand, you begin the journey of being transformed. Now, I like to think of myself as a Baptocostal, a little bit Baptist, a little bit Pentecostal. I'm in the right place, isn't it? Now, I believe that the Holy Spirit is essential in my life and the transformation that God is doing in my life. And when Jesus ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit. And he said that he sent the Holy Spirit to remind us of the things that he taught us. In the New Testament, it doesn't take long after the Holy Spirit is sent for people to do amazing things. In Acts 2, we see Peter, someone who denied Christ 3 times, become a proclaimer of the gospel that's only by the Holy Spirit. We see the power of the Holy Spirit draw people to follow Jesus. But even in the Old Testament, we see in Judges 14, verses 6 to 8, the Holy Spirit came upon Samson with the power and allowed him to tear a lion apart. Now, that's a certain type of, you know, spirit that is allowing a man to rip a lion apart. It says in the Bible that he ripped it like a small goat. I can't rip a small goat apart, but you know, Samson. So the Holy Spirit was the thing that, and the source of Samson's power. Now, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit is a power that we should wield. You know, there's some churches where people are like, wah! And people fall on the floor. And they fall on the floor. I'm not saying that's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit isn't a power to be yielded. It's a person to be met. You see, it's part of God's nature. It's how God does his work in our hearts. In this, I understand that the Holy Spirit can be hard to understand. I did a theology degree. I still am learning about the Holy Spirit. And if I'm being honest, a lot of it, I still don't understand. But without God, we cannot follow God. So the Holy Spirit is essential for walking with Christ. And I'm talking to you guys today. I'm going to talk to you a lot. You guys can be in on the conversation, but I'm going to talk to you guys a lot today. The Holy Spirit is essential for your walk with Christ. Without God, we cannot follow God. So God at work in our hearts is the Holy Spirit, shaping us to be in line with God. There's a story in the Gospel of John where Jesus met a Samaritan woman at a well. And this woman that he met was hurt. She had had multiple relationships. She was broken. And she carried that hurt with him, and Jesus felt that hurt. The Samaritans were people that were outcasted by the Jews. And there was contention about where the early fathers, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, actually worshipped. The Samaritans thought they worshipped somewhere else. The Jews thought they worshipped in another place. And Jesus says this in John 4, verse 24. He says that God is spirit, and those who will worship God will worship in spirit and in truth. Now he's saying here that worship is not confined to location, but to the posture of your heart. Worship is devotion and reverence for God. Worship is crying out to God so that you can know him more. That's what we just did before. We worship God. The Spirit is what causes us to repent. Without the Spirit of Jesus prompting us, how can we know that we've offended Jesus? Paul illustrates this fact in the 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 to 15. He talks of the wisdom that humans have and speaks of the fact that we can only understand the things of God but by his Holy Spirit. It's impossible for someone to be born of the Spirit and not and to understand God. He says it's impossible for someone not born of the Spirit to understand the things of God. Now I hope you've heard me that the Holy Spirit is essential, and I felt like I needed to explain that, not just for you the congregation, but again for you that are being baptized. The reason is that this truth revolutionized the way I walked with Jesus. I didn't rely on my own strength anymore, but I looked to his power by his Spirit to fill me and move me. My prayers turned from God, let me do this, to my prayers turned from I will follow God to God, fill me with your Spirit and enable me to follow you. With this heart posture, I saw myself begin to change. I became a little bit different, a little bit peculiar. And this is what we are called to be, a peculiar people. And you see, our peculiar nature is what is supposed to attract people to us, to meet Jesus. If this church looks the same as the world, why would people outside want to come inside? Someone who was peculiar in nature and in turn drew people to him was who we read about before, John the Baptist. Now this was a very, very peculiar man. Some might say crazy, but we'll stick with peculiar. He was a significant figure in history. And this is because he linked the saving acts of God in the Old Testament with Jesus' saving ministry in the New Testament. And we read about him in Matthew 3, which was read amazingly by Pastor Deji. And I want to test you. So that's why I got the Mawam, so okay? So I want to test you. We're going to walk through the passage again. This is my phone. Okay, anyway. We're going to walk through the passage. I'm going to ask you some questions. Young people, I want to see hands up, okay? You're not young enough, Pastor Deji, sorry. You're a young man, young at heart, but, you know. Okay. So, finish this sentence. John the Baptist preached, repent for the what is at hand. What did he say? Kingdom of God. Here we go.
There we go.
Ooh, give a round of applause. Woo!
You want to have one? Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. Okay. What prophet spoke of John the Baptist coming?
I don't know.
Come on. Anyone have a clue? Was it A, Jeremiah, B, Isaiah, or C, Moses?
Isaiah.
Oh, come on, give him a round of applause. Oh.
So thank you.
Sorry, you're looking very sharp today. You're looking sharper than me. That's amazing. And Isaiah said, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Question three, what animal was John's clothes made of? Was it A, a donkey, B, hey, this guy, okay, B, hey, should I even finish? Okay, what was it?
Camel's hair.
Say it again?
Camel's hair.
Oh, wow. There we go. Okay, he also ate wild honey and locusts. Number four, people from Jerusalem and all of Judea and what other region went to see John? Was it A, Lagos, B, B, Judah, or C, Samaria? Sorry, hand went up first, I'll come back.
Judah,
well done. There you go. Question five, and I'll come to you. Verse 5 said that John the Baptist baptized the people in the river of Jordan. What did they do with their sins before they were baptized? Did they A, throw them away, B, bury them, or C, confess them?
Confess them.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Question 6. What did John the Baptist call the Pharisees and Sadducees? Was it A, a brood of vipers, B, a colony of ants, or C, a den of thieves? There we go, someone at the back, here we go.
A brood of vipers.
There we go. There you go. Number 7, what he said that something was already at the root of the tree, was it A, an axe, B, fruit, or C, nutrients?
It was an axe.
Yep, there we go. A round of applause, there we go. Well done. 8. We're coming to them, don't worry, I'll get back to preaching. What type of water did John say he was baptizing the people with? Was it A, a holy water, B, repentance, or C, forgiveness? It's not right, but I'll give you a sweet anyway, because you tried. I'll give you a sweet anyway, you tried. Do you want to try? Yeah. Was it A, holy, B, repentance, or C, forgiveness? Repentance. There we go. Oh, wow. There you go. Wow. Okay. Question 9. John spoke of someone coming after him that he would not be able to carry what? A, a coat, B, his hat, or C, a sandal. There we go. Well done. And our final question. He said that this person would come and baptize us with what? Was it A, water and Holy Spirit, B, Holy Spirit and love, or C, none of the above? Yeah, okay.
Water.
He did baptize us with water. There you go. I'll give you one. I can't say no to those chubby cheeks. It was actually none of the above. He said he'll baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. You guys want to share this? You're getting baptized. You might want. Are you fasting? Okay, there we go. Okay. Okay. Now John was a weird guy, right? He wore camel hair and a leather belt. Okay, the belt isn't weird. I'm wearing the leather belt too. But he also ate locusts and wild honey. Now the funny thing is that his clothes and his diet probably wasn't the most weirdest thing about him. Of course his diet and his fashion choices were questionable, but the thing that was really peculiar about him was what he preached. He preached in the desert, and he preached a baptism of repentance and a confession of sin, and spoke of a savior to come. You see, it's the combination of his lifestyle and his message that was key to the crowds that he drew. He wasn't just someone who talked about it. He walked the walk. You would just have to look at John the Baptist, a guy with dreadlocks, camel hair, leather belt, eating, you know, wild honey and locusts, and know that this was not a man who was concerned with the luxuries of life. He was someone who was focused on the kingdom of God. Can that be said of us today? You see, John's heart seeped out into what he wore, how he dressed, what he ate, and most importantly, what he preached. He longed for his savior. And I'm not asking for you to start eating locusts and honey. That would be very fair, because I love jollof rice and meat too much. So I'm not going to change my diet, so I'm not going to ask you to. But my question to you is, do your actions match the message that you preach and claim to live by? Is how you carry yourself congruent with what you say to people you stand for? Baptism in those days was not foreign to people. They were used to the idea of bathing in water to be purified of their sins. However, John's baptism was distinct because it was a one-time baptism and was also accompanied by, if not preceded by, the repentance and confession of sin. In other forms of baptism performed by the Pharisees were repeated washings. John's baptism set the precedence for what was to come. Jesus' blood washing us of our sins once and for all. We don't have to come and receive our salvation repeatedly. It was paid once. And it covered all of our sins. And we just have to receive and believe in the blood. Now, the idea of repentance and confession are essential because they reveal our heart. You see, it says here that the confession of sin comes first and then baptism. To be aware of your sin, you must be aware that you've offended God. And this must be done via the Holy Spirit. The heart is where the life of a person flows from. Where the blood, the oxygenated blood, pumps from the heart all around the body, giving oxygen to the cells. Literally, the heart is where life comes from. You see, when God is in your heart, like you that are being baptized today, when you treasure God in your heart, you can't help but repent. And to repent isn't just to ask for forgiveness. It speaks of a changing of your mind. It means that when you fall to sin, you don't just say sorry. You change the elements of your life that have caused you to sin to stop you from sinning again. Repentance comes from a heart posture, wanting to live for God. It's from this heart posture that we see a change in ourselves and in our environment around us. It's from this heart posture that we seek to live for Jesus Christ. This is the way that we can prepare the way for Jesus to come and change our lives. When you make space, it gives Jesus the permission to come and change things. You see, John was preparing the people for more. He was preparing their hearts to receive more. In verse 11, he says, "I baptize you with the water of repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and water." He was preparing the people for Jesus. He said Jesus would come and baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was God coming to earth to show us who God really was. Jesus was God coming to show us just how much he wanted to be in relationship with us. For the creator of the universe, to come to earth and live amongst his creation, love his creation, be hated by his creation, and then die for his creation is not a small thing. Not only that, but he died and came back to life to prove that he had conquered death. And this is what John was preparing the people to receive. C.S. Lewis, the author of the famous Narnia books, you might know them, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. He was an amazing author, but he was also an amazing theologian. And he once said this of Jesus: "I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I do not accept his claims to be God. This is the one thing you must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You cannot shut him up for a fool. You can either shut him up for a fool, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. Let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. Congratulations to those being baptized today. As you lay your life at his feet in front of your friends, your family, and your church, know that your Savior is proud of you. Know that what you're doing right now is a sign of things he's already been doing in your life. As you've prepared your hearts to be taken over and invaded by your Savior, know that as you go, you will find more than you could ever imagine. As you journey with Jesus, you'll find more than you could ever imagine. This will be a second birth, a new beginning. The old has gone, the new is coming. The world would have you believe that being in control and in charge of your own lives is the best way to go. But who knows what's best for you other than your Maker and your Savior, Jesus Christ? As you begin this journey, I pray that your appetite changes from milk to meat. That as you journey, you wholeheartedly give yourself to Jesus Christ. It's a journey that has its ups and downs. Trust me, I've been there. But Jesus didn't promise that you would live a cozy life. He promised his presence with you through everything, though. The Apostle Paul writes the letter of Philippians to the church in Philippi. And this is a man who wrote a third of the New Testament. And as he writes his letter, he's in jail. He's in prison. This was a man who had met Jesus, knew Jesus personally. And as you write this letter, you think to yourself, how can a man in these circumstances write this letter? But this is because the presence of Jesus was a real thing to him. This is the same letter that he says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we can say this verse so flippantly. We can have it tattooed. My friend has it tattooed on him. I don't even think he knows what it means. He has it tattooed on him. The fact that we have this verse written by someone who is in prison adds an extra layer to the realness of what God's presence, Jesus' presence, can do for a person. For someone in prison to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it hits differently. He also writes this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out unto completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Take this as a promise. As you journey with Jesus, the work that has begun, God will continue in your heart and in your life. But, and there's a but, you have to be willing to let him do the work. You have to do what the Bible tells you to do. You can't hide and put certain principles away. You have to wholeheartedly give Jesus your heart. You have to surrender your heart to him. And by giving him your heart, you give him the permission to shape your life. Now let me tell you the rest of my story. After I came to Christ, I spent years following God. I continued in the church. I served on the media team, who were doing a great, they're doing a good job today as well, yeah. I did youth work. I opened some services. I was in the Lord's house doing the Lord's work. And while I did that, I had some odd jobs. I was a travel buddy. I took an autistic child called Chibi to and from school. I did that for about 2 years. And while I was doing that, I was also freelancing videography, photography. Don't ask me to take pictures of you. I'm a pastor now. My dream was to be a BBC apprentice. That was my dream. I had done multiple applications to no avail. I then eventually wanted to become a filmmaker. And then, of course, COVID hit. And I couldn't do any more videos. I couldn't take Chibi to school. I had to stay at home. And literally the week before lockdown, I went on a date with my wife, first ever date. I didn't want to call it a date, I wanted to make it more nuanced. That wasn't very good. She sat me down and said, what's your intentions on the first date? But she's there, so you know, I had a good answer for it, you know what I mean? But as I was at home, I was thinking about, what do I want to do? I didn't want to leave COVID in the same position. I wanted to leave COVID in a better position. So I prayed to God. I prayed and prayed and asked him to show me what he wanted me to do. I had met this lovely, amazing, beautiful woman that I wanted to marry as well. So I needed direction, I needed God. Eventually I had a plan. I was gonna write a script, And that was it. And as I continued to pray, I had this plan for ministry with young men. I called it Brotherhood. It was amazing. And as I continued in COVID lockdown, praying, fasting, talking to Manuel on Skype, giggling, the thing that was gravitating towards my heart wasn't the script. It was this ministry idea. And I took it to my youth pastor and I said to him, I want to do this. And he said to me, have you ever thought about doing an internship with the London Baptist? And I said, internship? No. London Baptist? Who are those people? And I thought it would be, but as I continued to pray, I spoke to my friend Emmanuel, and he was like, this might be a good opportunity for you. And I really felt God prompted me to take the opportunity. And in the end, I thought it would be a cool idea. I would learn more about video stuff, and I'll do a little bit of ministry stuff too. And on the first day of the London Baptist, I walked into the building and I said to them, listen, guys, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be a minister. But I feel like God is calling me to be a church leader. And everyone in the room laughed. And I'm sure God laughed too as well. And after a year with the London Baptist, I did a lot of youth work. I did some video stuff as well. And I really enjoyed it. And I thought, this youth work stuff, I kind of like it. Maybe I can do both. And I prayed about it. And I sought God about it, and I sought people around me. And of course, me and Manuel were still dating. But I wasn't sure how it would work out. So I applied to the BBC, Viacom, and other media companies. And eventually, I was offered a place in Mill Hill East Church. And when I walked into the room, the pastor said, we need a youth pastor, but we also need help with our media stuff. And he kept saying, I feel like this is a God thing. And I was like, it feels like a God thing to me too. Now, 2 months into my new job, I got an email from the BBC. Can you guess what they said? I was through to the next stages of the interviews. First time, I applied maybe like 5 times. I was finally through to the next stages, but I'm here in Mill Hill, working as a youth pastor. And as I looked into myself, as I looked at this email, something felt different. Something strange had happened to me. The thing that I'd been longing for years and years, and I'm telling you, it was years, to be a BBC apprentice, to be a filmmaker, that desire wasn't there anymore. God had changed my heart, and he had changed everything else about my life. And I just ignored it. I didn't even reply. I just kept going about my day. But my prayer was, God, if this is what you want of me, show me what it is that you want me to do. Long story short, I went to Spurgeon's, where I know Deborah from as well, because she works at Spurgeon's. I got married, and this in January next year, I'll be ordained as a Baptist minister. Amen, God is good. Now, I'm not saying any of this to boast, to say, look at me, I'm preaching to you, listen to me, I'm teaching you. I'm saying this because I never thought I would be on this journey. I never thought I would be standing here in front of you. If you knew the Femi of 10 years ago, the ragamuffin that was in youth, making laughs, making jokes with people, partying on a Saturday in church on a Sunday. Some of you are looking like that's what you were doing last night. Anyway, let's keep moving on. If you knew me and you saw me today, you would say this is a different guy. And I'm not saying that this is because of me. I didn't do any of this. But what I did do was give God all of my heart. All of it. I didn't say, take some of this, I'll keep this part. I didn't say, take some of this, you know, use this, use that. I want you a little bit here, a lot here. I gave him everything. I surrendered to him. And it's something I still do to this day, because me and Manuela are in a transition period where we're thinking, God, what is next for us? So please be praying for us. Please be praying for God to guide us. But surrendering my heart to God, letting go of yourself, by letting go of my anxieties and my fears, I allowed God to show me who I really was. I allowed God to guide me to where he wanted me to be. And in that way, I don't know if I'd be married right now if I had gone the way I wanted to go. I don't know if I feel as fulfilled as I do right now. And it's not been easy, but But as I look back on the last 4 years, as long as I've given him my heart, he has led me and he's made things fall in line. Now, as I conclude, I just want to summarize this sermon in a paragraph or so. In life, we may chase many things, but true fulfillment comes when we surrender our hearts to God. Baptism is not just an act, it's a reflection of what is already happening inside of us, a transformation that begins when we place our heart in Jesus' hands. Just like John the Baptist called people to repentance, Jesus calls us into a deeper relationship with him, inviting us to trust him with every part of our lives. When we give God our heart, he changes us from the inside out, guiding us through every trial, transforming our desires and shaping our futures. So today, as you witness these baptisms or you reflect on your own journey, I encourage you to fully surrender your heart to God. Let him lead you into a life far more abundant and fulfilling than anything the world could offer. Trust that when you give him your heart, he will align your life with his perfect will. Amen.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.